A California man is in custody on charges he was planning a domestic terrorist attack. Authorities say Army veteran Mark Stephen Domingo was arrested last Friday before he could carry out a bombing at a rally in Long Beach on Sunday. He was a recent convert to Islam, and authorities say he had once said he would pledge allegiance to ISIS if the group managed to create a presence in the U.S. Well, yesterday, the reclusive leader of ISIS appeared in a new video, the first time he's been seen in 5 years. In the video, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi said ISIS will prolong its war of attrition until Judgment Day. Joining us now is Colin Clark, senior research fellow at the Soufan Center. Colin, first of all, do you have any doubts about the authenticity of this video?
No, this seems totally legit. That's initially what a lot of folks were worried about and naturally skeptical, given all the claims that, including Russian claims, that Baghdadi's been killed. But it seems to be clear now that this was definitely him.
And so what message do you think he is trying to send?
I think he's got a couple of messages, which are all very interesting in their own right. I think in terms of timing, he released this to coincide with the upcoming Muslim holy month of Ramadan. And that's a period which we typically see a spike of attacks by the Islamic State and its followers. And so I think there's a tactical aspect to his message. It could be a means of rallying his supporters or encouraging those that have been thinking about launching an attack to go forth and do so. I think at a fundamental level, it's to prove to his followers that he's alive, mm-hmm. right? Because there was a lot of uncertainty over he hadn't been seen in 5 years. So to say, no, here's proof of life. And to remind them of the temporal aspect of the fight, that this is, you know, something that's not measured in months or years, but a far longer time horizon. And he stresses that throughout the video, and he attempts to frame the collapse of the territorial caliphate as merely just another kind of, you know, blip in this long journey.
Well, yeah, because we've talked many times before on this program about the importance to a group like ISIS of having an actual caliphate, of having territory that they control. And as we've also talked about, much of that territory has been taken away from them over the last couple of years. How can they make the case to their followers when they don't have a caliphate?
Well, look, Baghdadi and most of the leadership were well aware that this wasn't going to be a permanent thing. They knew that they'd never be able to withstand Western and coalition forces' air power. And so they've been planning for the next phase for quite a while. They've been looking into what it would take to sustain some kind of a guerrilla insurgency in Iraq and Syria. And they've also been dedicating a lot of attention and resources to their affiliate groups and their franchises all over the world, in places like Libya, Yemen, the Sinai, and Egypt, Afghanistan, and other parts of Africa.
So as you said, al-Baghdadi is talking to ISIS followers in this video. What about new recruits? How do they get people to sign on around the world to carry out terrorist attacks when they don't have that caliphate? Or what message do they send to people that makes them decide, okay, I'm going to join this fight?
So this is a morale boost for the group, especially coming on the heels of Sri Lanka, where a lot of folks in the media doubted that the Islamic State could have played a significant role. We now have learned that at least one of the bombers, had actually trained in Iraq and Syria, was a returning foreign fighter, which is what many countries have long feared. Baghdadi was essentially trying to come out and say, you know, a lot of people are questioning whether or not we can still launch spectacular attacks, and clearly we can, whether those are directed and inspired, or in this case, partnering with local groups in places like Sri Lanka that, to be honest, were really well below most people's radars in mm-hmm. terms of countries where the Islamic State would look to launch an attack.
Colin, in a recent article in The Atlantic, you were quoted as saying that, like a headhunting firm, ISIS is targeting people with a background in graphic design and production, people with media degrees. How do they do that, and why do they want that so badly?
So this is something that goes to the importance of what I would call information operations. And I wrote a piece with a colleague of mine named Charlie Winter in War on the Rocks maybe a couple of years ago now, where we identified this trend in the U.S. and in U.S. military circles. We pay a lot of lip service to the importance of information operations, PR, media. But the Islamic State actually dedicates significant resources because they know they're at an asymmetric disadvantage, and they see the return on investment. And the proof's in the pudding. If you look at the Islamic State, there's a lot of hyperbole that's surrounded the group. there's two areas to me that I think the hyperbole is warranted. So one is financing. This was one of the wealthiest terrorist groups that we've ever seen. And the other is in the sophistication of its media operations, which really served multiple purposes. They were able to recruit new members. They were able to intimidate ISIS adversaries, and it was a global operation. This wasn't just some kind of local or parochial outfit that was pushing out messages that nobody read. I mean, people were consuming this ideology and then launching attacks. People were consuming this ideology and traveling to join the group.
That is Colin Clark, who's a senior research fellow at the Soufan Center and also author of the upcoming book, After the Caliphate, the Islamic State, and the Future Terrorist Diaspora. Colin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.